Well, our text this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And our text this evening is actually the afternoon on Resurrection Day. So it'll be fun to read that. But I'm going to start reading at the beginning of the chapter, chapter 24. Chapter 24, 1 through 35. It's a long reading, but how often do we get to read the resurrection story? It's a blessing. So Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. People of God, this is God's very word. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." And now our text this evening. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and concerning women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicted them that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. Well, have we ever been into something, a cause, or something that you put all your time and energy to? Every moment of your life into something, just to have it all vanish. It's so close. You could have reached out and grabbed it. And it's just gone. All the time and effort, and in our days, the money put into something, and then the dream is just over. It leaves you with that sick feeling in your stomach. You see, that's what our two disciples are feeling when we started the text. And I call them, in my sermon title, the wayward sheep, two wayward sheep. On a road to Emmaus, two broken men. It's like their whole world had just been swept out from underneath them. And our two disciples are leaving Jerusalem the day that Jesus rose from the dead. In their minds, they had this foregone conclusion what was going to happen. They knew it. It had to happen their way. But it didn't. And it left them brokenhearted. So this evening, I want us to show how this text is not only about two sheep, but it shows us two gospels. One, by these two disciples that are brokenhearted. And one, from Jesus, who shows us that it was always about him from the very beginning. And like I said earlier, this text takes place Easter afternoon. And our two disciples, our two lost sheep, are walking away from Jerusalem. And we find out that one of their names is Cleopas. And they're on their way home. And the text tells us that it's 7 miles, a 7-mile walk. Think of the last week these two sheep have had. Think about being in that parade on Palm Sunday. Remember the parade, the people in front and the people in back, and the chanting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then being with Jesus as he taught that week, watching Jesus flip over tables in the temple, watching Jesus curse a fig tree, watching Jesus be led away to crucifixion. These two young men are brokenhearted. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be in their minds. In our text, Luke tells us, not only are they talking, but they're beginning to argue. One of the things we can't see too well in the English, and Luke shows us using three different words in this text about how they start to argue slowly at first. But by the end, they're screaming at each other. We read it in verse 15, they're talking and discussing. The term can mean debating. I don't know about you, but every time I've read this story, I've always thought of these two men, just sad disciples, slowly walking back, you know. Or maybe even philosophers talking, discussing who was right about Jesus, who was wrong about Jesus, proving their point. But you see, by the time Jesus shows up to these two men, they're ready to get into a fist fight. Verse 15, we read this as Jesus comes alongside them. So it was while they were conversed and reasoned, that they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he says to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? You're probably thinking to yourself, wait a second. Pastor, you just said that these two disciples were with him during the parade. You just said that these two disciples were with them during the week. Yeah. But for some reason, God has made it that they can't see and recognize Jesus on the road here. And some say it's their lack of faith. Well, they didn't believe in the first place, so they can't see Jesus. Okay. Could be true. And one of the things that we see in the text is that their eyes were restrained. So God's doing this. God's saying, you can't see Jesus. And I think he's doing this now so that he could show them how powerful Christ is. When they realize it really was Jesus in front of them, the risen Lord, and why he had to do it the way he did it, and not the way that their minds thought Jesus should have done it. You know, for our disciples, Cleopas and his friend, they have no idea, none, that they can see this stranger. They're talking to him. They're listening to him. And it's truly the risen Lord next to them. He's right in front of them. He probably slapped them on the back while they're walking, just talking. How awesome would that be? So we see Jesus coming alongside them, and he begins to talk with them. And in verse 17, I really want us to narrow in right here. What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? And this is the verb here is one of the three words that Luke is using to build their conversation to an argument. The last verb, the conversation that they're having, is really the verb to throw something against the wall. So Luke is trying to show us here that that's what their words are doing. Their words are like throwing something against the wall, but they're doing it at each other. Ouch. Sometimes we hear about throwing darts at people with your words. They're throwing rocks at each other with their words here. And Jesus realizes it. He probably walks up on them and they're probably just shouting at each other. I love how it says they're sad. They're sad. They're distraught. So Jesus walks alongside them. He hears their conversation. They're sad. They're yelling at each other. And Jesus, what kind of conversation are you guys having? And you love Cleopas' answer, right? Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these days? Like, come on, buddy, where you been? You got to know the things that are happening. He's coming from Jerusalem, so he must have been there. How do you not know what's going on? Cleopas says, these days, probably meaning the last week. Everybody's in Jerusalem. Remember, it's the feast. Jerusalem is packed. They're seeing everything that Jesus does. They're seeing the crucifixion. They're seeing the trials, what's going on. They saw the crowds enter Palm Sunday. And the Lord's like, what things? Oh, that probably got him. That probably got him. Oh, what? Because they're already upset. They're already sad. And this guy, what things? It's so funny because Jesus knows exactly what those things were. Because they all happened to him, didn't they? And we can see in our text that both disciples in verse 19 are trying to speak at the same time. I think it's hilarious because they're arguing and they want to show this stranger who's right in their argument. So they said to him, so they're trying to speak at the same time. So they said to him, and they say, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all of his people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to crucify him. But here we go. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. See, their minds were somewhere else. Their minds weren't on what Jesus was trying to accomplish, saving us from our sin. No, their minds were, get the Romans out of Jerusalem. Let's continue reading. Indeed, besides all these, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company have arrived at the tomb early and astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they'd also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. So now you're getting to see Cleopas' answer. You're seeing what Cleopas thought what should happen. This is the gospel according to Cleopas. He was to redeem Israel. Look, they call him a prophet. Mighty in work and deeds. Jesus, the performer of miracles. This is what Cleopas is telling the stranger. This Jesus who healed the sick, who made lame walk, who made the deaf hear, blind to see. This Jesus who rose someone from the dead. But he's not only powerful in deed, is he? He tells us that he's powerful in word. This Jesus who could stand up in a boat and tell the wind and the waves to be still. I've never met anybody like that. This Jesus who can forgive sins with the word of his mouth. Remember the paraplegic on the mat. He says, your sins are forgiven. Think of that. Think of Jesus, who when men came to arrest him, they stopped and just listened to his words and went back to the temple guards and said this. They said, no one's ever spoken like this man. Powerful in word. So Cleopas' gospel story sounds good, doesn't it? He's a prophet, powerful in word, powerful indeed. And then he moves to the crucifixion, doesn't he? And this is what he says. He doesn't even blame the Romans. He says, the chief priest and our rulers crucified him. Think about that. How many times did Pilate say, nope, found no guilt in this man. Let him go. Let him go. He's not guilty. Nope. His people said, we will have no king but Caesar. They yelled, crucify him. His blood will be on us and our children. So Cleopas' story is pretty good. His story of the gospel. But then we get a glimpse into his heart, don't we? A glimpse into his heart. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. That's where they go wrong. They have this earthly agenda for Jesus. You might be thinking, but he did redeem Israel. He did redeem the true Israel of God. And yes, he did. But you see, in their minds, it was only earthly that they wanted. They only wanted a king to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, not in heaven. And I'm almost convinced that like 97.82564 of all the Jews at this time wanted Jesus to just kick the Romans out. They had stopped believing in the Messiah that would come to save them from their sin. Think about this. 40 days after the resurrection, the apostles come to Jesus, right before Jesus raises to heaven. You see this, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, their minds are still not right where Jesus wants them. And after all this, after everything there, what do they say? They tell the stranger, and it's been 3 days. And these women ran to the tomb, and there was nobody in there. And there were angels there. And one of us ran to the tomb and looked in. But we're leaving. We're going home. What's missing in their gospel? The power of the resurrection. No wonder why these two are sad. No wonder why they're going home. There's no hope in a gospel with no resurrection. No wonder why they're throwing rocks at each other with their words. In their minds, all this loss, this whole time they've been following Jesus, to them it was for naught. They didn't believe. That's what it comes down to. This whole time they didn't believe. But now there's a switch in the text. Now we get to the true gospel. I wonder what these two men thought when this stranger rebukes them on the road. Because the first thing he says to them is a rebuke. He says, "Oh, foolish ones." We might hear that and think it's kind of like a giggle. "Oh, foolish ones." This is the same word that Paul uses when he rebukes the Galatians for falling away from the gospel. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It's the same term that Jesus uses. "Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Jesus is mad at them. He rebukes them. And did you catch why Jesus is mad? He's not mad for not believing what he was saying during his ministry. He doesn't get mad and say, "Don't you remember when I said destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He doesn't get mad at that. He doesn't get mad and say, "Don't you remember when I said just like Jonah was in the ground, spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of fish, I will spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth." He doesn't yell at them for that. What's he yell at them for? He says, "Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" See, Cleopas' gospel had some missing pieces. Those missing pieces were huge. Jesus tells him, "You grew up with this. You knew about the Messiah. You knew what was supposed to happen. But you missed it. You missed it. The Messiah was supposed to suffer. But the Messiah would be resurrected and ascend on high, enter into his glory." And Jesus tells them exactly where they missed it. We read verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets." He goes back and Jesus goes all the way to the beginning, to the writings of Moses. "He expounded to them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself." You know, the sad thing is that Jesus has done this before in his ministry. Earlier in Luke's gospel, in Luke 16, Jesus tells them the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. He's speaking to the Pharisees, but all of his disciples are around listening to him. And the rich man dies and goes to Hades, and Lazarus dies and goes to the bosom of Abraham. And their lives on earth were so different. Now they're opposite. And what does Abraham say to Lazarus? Lazarus is in torment. He wants a drop of water on his tongue. In the parable, Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Remember, because Lazarus, he's in such bad shape in hell, he's like, I got to go back. We have to tell my brothers what's going on. Someone needs to go. Abraham's like, no, they have the prophets. They have Moses. They have the prophets. It's all they need. You might be thinking, that's weird. Why would we point them to the prophets and Moses? Because here's the thing. Throughout the whole Old Testament, it was always pointing to Jesus. It was always telling us we can't do it on our own. We need somebody else. The whole time. See, the sad part is in this parable that Jesus said in his ministry, listen to the rich man. He says, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he says to them, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should raise from the dead. And that parable is still going on to this day. That Jesus' blood brothers and sisters, the Jews, still to this day, had somebody come from the dead, rise from the dead. I am the Messiah. You see, this whole time the scriptures were always about Jesus. So for the next 7 miles, maybe it's 5 miles, maybe they've been walking for 2 miles as they were yelling. But the rest of this trip back to Emmaus, Jesus goes through and tells them stories about him from the Old Testament. Think about that. Jesus telling stories about himself from scripture. Pointing himself. Oh, there I am. Oh, you remember this story? That was about me. Think about it. All the way back. He goes back to Moses. Goes back to the garden. That seed that was going to bruise Satan's head? That was me. The Passover lamb? Yep, me again. Remember in the wilderness wandering with that bronze serpent lifted up? Me again. You can just go on and on. About the Old Testament. Remember the tabernacle? Remember when it got turned into the temple? You remember all the things along the walls? Me. He could have went into the Psalms. Went into the prophets. It's all about Jesus. Think about it. All about Jesus. Maybe he even went to Isaiah 53. And then he would have been like, wow, that just happened a few days ago. See, when they get to Emmaus, they beg Jesus to stay with them. He says, okay, I'll stay. And at dinner, Jesus reverses the roles. He's no longer the stranger, does he? No. Now he's the host. And he takes bread, and he blesses the meal. And it says right then, their eyes are opened. And they knew it was their Lord. They knew it. And I love what they say. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened up the scriptures to us? How often do we have our hearts burn when we hear a sermon preached? How often when we hear the scriptures, oh yeah, it brings joy. Puts a smile on our face. Did not our hearts burn Love it. And what's the first thing they do with the true gospel? When their eyes are finally open and they see Jesus for who he is, the risen Messiah, what do? They run back to Jerusalem to tell somebody the good news. No street lights. No cars. They can't jump into a car. Remember, now they're officially 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's dark outside. They're eating dinner. They go running. Beloved, Jesus showed them the true gospel on the road to Emmaus. The good news. Not only did he pay for their sin, but you see, death couldn't hold him anymore. He was perfect. The perfect sacrifice. The whole Old Testament was showing us who Jesus was. Not only was he a mighty prophet in word and deed, not only did he come to suffer and die, but he rose again. That's what today's all about. And then he entered into his glory 40 days later. Think about it. Are we like these two lost sheep before Jesus opened their eyes? Oh yeah, I've heard the stories. Oh yeah, yeah, I know. Are our eyes still closed? When things today don't go like we want them, when we see America falling apart, do we just take our ball and go home? Or do we know the truth? We know that he's the risen Savior and that one day he's going to take us home. That's my prayer this evening, that we remember who Jesus is. He's the risen Lord. There's power in that. We should be telling others about that. Running 7 miles, maybe. I'll go for one. But that's our job now. To tell those about our resurrected Jesus who will save those from their sin. Let us pray. Father God, what a blessed story. To know that the book we read at home, that the book we read with our kids, that the book we hear preached on Sundays was always about you. It always pointed to you and what you were going to do. And now we know not only were you crucified, not only did you pay the price for our sin, but you rose again for our justification. And you're sitting on the throne in heaven, and one day you're going to come back and take us with you, that we will live for eternity with you. Oh, what a story. Help us to remember this. Help us to be bold and run and tell others about this story. Give us courage. Because it's only through your Son Jesus that people can be saved from their sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.